Turn my mic on, that's helpful. It's great to see everyone here. I'm Pastor John Hubert. Going to make some adjustments today. First of all, I have to start preaching more to the left because there's people here now. Used to not be the people, I'm just saying, now I got to swing around and move around. Got to make more motions that direction. I should have stretched a little bit this morning, but I'll be okay. Also, when our technical difficulty, I thought we were going to have to go get the overhead projector and have a kid on there with the little sheet sliding it up there, and we didn't quite get to that stage, but we felt like it, and it was kind of a good time. So just want to thank everyone that was a big part of making our moves and things like that. So we're still in the process of finishing a few things, but we're excited about the changes that we're making. So today I want to talk to you about something that I think is very relevant to almost to everybody. It's finding and following the will of God. Now, notice that there are both of them. There are people that find the will of God and then go, eh. I mean, there really are. You know exactly what God wants you to do. You know exactly the thing you're supposed to do, but you'd rather do it your own way. There's all kinds of examples of people. You know, Jonah would be a great example in the Old Testament. I'm supposed to be a prophet. I'm supposed to go help those horrible, horrible Ninevites. I'm not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to do it. I know exactly what God wants. Doesn't do it. Doesn't go well for him, but he got to be his own man, right? He got to show God, man, I can do my own thing. Spent a little time in the, you know, inside of a big fish. That's always a negative. But, you know, he got to, I mean, and that's, I think sometimes we know the will of God, and we're going to talk about this. For us today, there are times when God will speak directly to you and say this is what he wills you to do. But for the most part, what happens is that God is speaking through his word. And he's not hiding it. He's not hiding the direction you should go. He's not hiding the things that you should do. He has it set out there for you. And so I think it's important as we're looking at life, the big decisions that we make, the you know, who we're going to spend our life with, where we're going to go to school, or where what job we're going to take, or should I do this, should I do that, should I go left or to the right. There's a lot of decisions that we can make, and we need a direction from God in what we're doing. But especially in the big decisions that we're going to see today, when it's a, you know, I just don't have any way to go, God, do you have a plan? And the answer to that is God does have a plan. And God always has a plan for you, and he's not going to let go of you until that plan is done. And he's not going to, but we need to say, finding the will of God, how do we find that? So we're going to look at 1 Samuel 23 today. We're going to see a story of David and Saul again. Remember, pretty much a big understanding throughout the book of 1 Samuel is you've got David, the man after God's own heart, which we're going to see, he doesn't always do everything perfectly, but he always follows after God's heart. Even when he fails, he asks for forgiveness and say, God, will you please forgive me? Will you please bring me back to where I'm supposed to be? Then you've got Saul. Saul likes to do it his way. If it's convenient to follow after God, he will follow after God. But if he's inconvenienced, and perhaps a prophet shows up late, or perhaps it just doesn't seem that way, or why would we destroy just this really nice stuff, or, and he's very personal, and he now, he wonders, why doesn't God talk to me? Why doesn't God tell me what to do? And I was reading about this week, and one of the commentators said, well, God doesn't want to talk to somebody that he keeps asking him, and he tells them, and they go, I'm not doing it. But that's basically Saul. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows who he's supposed to follow. He knows that he was supposed to follow after the word of Samuel. He was supposed to have the prophet that would speak into his life, that he wasn't just going to be a tyrant like the rest of the kings in the area. He was going to be a leader after God's own heart, but he chose to go a different direction. So remember last week, we've got Saul chasing David. That's going to be a theme for a while, just for the record. You'll come next week and you say, wasn't Saul chasing David last week? Yes. And then go the next, he's going to be doing this. This is what he does. It's a kind of a pattern. But here we've got David in the beginning of 1 Samuel 23. He says, now they told David, behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack these Philistines?
And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord again, and the Lord answered him, "Arise and go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." Now, I think this is an important thing that we understand. If you want to know the will of God, ask him. I mean, simply, there's a lot of theology, and I use that in quotes, that is telling God what we think, telling God what this makes sense. This is the way we've determined that God thinks. This is the way we determine. I was watching this video the other day where a pastor, again in quotes, was reading a scripture, and she said, "We didn't read part of it because it was too offensive." My thought was, go find another job. I just got something simple. You're in the pastoral role. It's like, I'm a mechanic, but I don't want to touch an engine. It's kind of your job. It's kind of what you do. It's kind of where we're all about. And so you see David right here, and you say, well, what's going on with him? First of all, he's running away from Saul. Saul has an army. You know who David has? Remember from last week? These are the people that joined David. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. Wow. I mean, it's just like going to the recruiting station and picking up the top. All right? So he's got 400 men with him. He's got a group. And so he's thinking, I'm just trying to survive. Saul's got the entire army of Israel. He's fighting against me. But he hears the Philistines are fighting against some of his people because he is still feels responsible. Remember, he was the head of Saul's army. So he says, I want to know what I should do about this. He asks God, my first thing is to protect the other people of Israel, even though I'm running away from Saul. So he asks the question, and he's going to ask through a priest, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but he's going to ask, shall I go and attack these Philistines? In other words, shall I go and do this? Is this a good idea for me to do? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Save that. Okay. And you say to yourself, okay, that's it, right? And he goes to his men and he says, behold. And the men say to him, no. That can't be God. That can't be God. Because it doesn't match our understanding of what can be done in the human realm. It doesn't match us. Should we read the list of our qualifications again? We're in distress, in debt. We're we're looking for something. And we're here with you. Okay, so they look at him and they say, we're not sure we can do this. And then they even say, we're in Judah. We might be able to take on Saul's army. Because Saul's army kind of likes us. I mean, we're kind of like them. We're related. You know, like I always tell people today, it's not like, you know, people, the Arabs and the Jews, they get along now. They don't get along then. It's the same kind of thing here. The Philistines are their enemies. The Philistines will kill them. The Philistines are nasty. The Philistines outnumber them. They outgun them. Oh, they didn't have guns at this time. They outspear them. They have all kinds of things that they have going on. So they have this here. And David's men said to him, we are afraid here in Judah, let alone you want us to go against the army of the Philistines? And David said, I will make sure and I will ask God again. So David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. You know what's great about David? You know why he was so successful as a king and as a military leader? He always asked God before he went into battle. For a certain amount of time, then there's certain passages where you think to yourself, okay, we've got them outnumbered. Everything should go great. Should we ask God? Nah, we're fine. We've done this before. We're just going to keep on going with it. But he tells us that he always asked God. That is always the pattern. If he did not receive a word from God that he was going to be successful, if he did not receive a word from God that he was supposed to do this, he would not go forward. And so the greatest talent that he had, and he was talented, he was very talented, very gifted, a great fighter, a great general, a great leader, going to be a great king, But he says, I won't go anywhere unless God goes with me. I think of Moses when he's been sent on a mission. And what does Moses say? I will not go unless you go with me, God. We need to understand we can't go anywhere without God going with us. And we need to know what he wants us to do. Now, in this situation, it's kind of a crazy thing. He's taken his 400 men, and I'm guessing, I can't tell you from heavy research, that these 400 people that joined him, I don't think that they were trained military might people. He says, I'm going to take them and fight against the Philistines, who are the biggest, nastiest people on the block. And so he does this, and it says, and David and his men, in verse 5, went to Keilah, and fought with the Philistines and brought away their livestock and struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, had fled to David to Keilah. He had come down with an ephod in his hand. And this is something that's very important. The ephod is what he's going to have. And you say, what's the ephod? The ephod we're going to see in Exodus is something that has a pouch on it. And it basically has this Urim and Thummim on it. And you throw them down and you decide if it's yes or no from God. And this is the way that God said you're supposed to ask what you need to do. You need to ask God, and God spoke through that. And it was not some chance thing, because we've all done this, right? Well, God, if you really want me to go there, may the next person who calls me be this. Or I'll open my Bible and do this and do it. Okay, that's not prescribed in the Bible. And what this they're doing is not even prescribed in the New Testament. This is the way that the leader and the priest are supposed to work together. The only way. Okay? So he does it this way. And it's very important that we understand this. Now let's contrast that with Saul. Remember when Saul was saying, what should I do? And I've got this conspiracy against me. And he had the priest in front of him. And the priest had the ephod. What did Saul do? Let's kill him. Let's kill him, because he's saying things to me that I don't want to hear. He's saying things that I don't want to hear. There's a very famous actor, and in some ways I respect this. I've used this example. Every time he goes into a hotel room, he rips out the passage in Leviticus about homosexuality because he wants it torn out of the Bible, because he doesn't want to hear it, because that's the lifestyle that he's living. He doesn't want to hear it. And it's just like, and that's what I think of Saul. You got the answer, you just don't want to hear it. And so his response is, you deserve to die because you're telling me stuff I don't want to hear. And I'm not going to listen, or I'm going to take persons out of the Bible and say, this isn't right or this is right. You know, you kind of put it together. And it's important that we understand that we need to ask God, but we also need to say we're willing to follow God. Because when God told David to go and fight against the Philistines, it was not a logical move. It was not something that was just, well, yeah, we'll take 400 people against the greatest army in the Middle East at this time. That should work. No, it was God telling him, you will go and you will be successful. And so David, we see in verse 7, now was told Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has given him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. This reminds me of a lot of people. What about Saul lets you think that he's really good at discerning God's will? Well, God must have wanted me to do this. He must have wanted me to do this. He wouldn't have put it in front of me if it wasn't that way. He wouldn't have given me these desires. He wouldn't have made me this way. He wouldn't have done this. It must be God's will. Just look at those words. I heard he's there. Well, God must have given him it. Oh, thank God. Thank you, God, for making me just the way I want to be. That's the best way I can put it. Given me my... Because why is David chasing after Saul, or Saul chasing after David? Out of jealousy? That's not exactly a good motive. So why would God give him into his hand over his jealous rage? Doesn't even make any sense. But his idea, and you can see the contrast, is again, don't assume that something that just falls there is God's will if it's going in the wrong direction, if it's going against what God has called you to do. So don't always think the easy path is what I'm trying to say, is God's path. And that just right there just sticks out to me, that word right there. And then Saul summoned all the people to war. So he basically did a conscription. And he said, everybody get together. We're going to go and chase after the Philistines, because the Philistines are the biggest army that we have. They're doing nasty stuff. We're going to go get them. No, we're going to go after my petty jealousy. All right. And I'm going to take the entire country with me. And he says, let's get together. And Saul summoned all the people to go to war. And at this time, he should have gone after the Philistines, because David had already set them to flight. Go get them and knock them out. He says, and we're going to go besiege David and his men. But David knew that Saul was plotting against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord, the God of Israel, your servant has surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, the God of Israel, please tell your servant. Now just stop there for a second. What did he just do for Keilah? David brought his 400, not the bright 400. Again, we need to, every time I think about this, he's bringing the 400 that he had. All right? And he brings them. He saves the city. He saves everything. They're right in the middle of harvest, from what we can tell. He saves their harvest. They're not going to starve. And so David's first thought is, they're going to turn me over to Saul. Well, there's a lot of love and thanks, you can tell right there. And God just simply says to him, he will come down. That he's going to come. And he says, then David said, will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. And we need to understand that when bad things happen in our lives, when people that should be on our side turn against us, does not mean we're not in the will of God. Does not mean that we have strayed from where God wants us to be. The will of God, because these are people that should have been David's friends. They just said, we will fight with you. You saved us from the Philistines. We're going to help you. We're going to give you an actual army. We're going to supply you. No, it's like, yeah, if he shows up, we're just going to hand him over to you. That's what we're going to do. And so he says this, he asks, and they will surrender. Then David and his men, who were about 600, he gained 200 men, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. So Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah. He gave up the expedition. So here's what really important to understand from this whole section. Verses 7 through 13, if you study it in Hebrew, you will understand that most of this section is about David asking God what to do. It's not David going, I really hate that Saul. I mean, he threw spears at him. You'd think that'd be easy to hate somebody who throws spears at you a couple times. And he's also set out edicts to kill him multiple times. But he doesn't do that. He says, what should I do, God? What should I do? I don't know what to think I'm trying to put myself in David's shoes here. When things aren't going my way, I just did something nice for somebody and they turn their back on me. And they decide that they're going to turn me over to my greatest enemy. That they're going to do something. I did something nice for them, so what are they going to do? They're going to do something mean behind my back. There's a good way to be bitter at this time, right? It's a good way to say, well, you know what? Must not have been God's will, because if it had been God's will, everything would have gone great. Sometimes, many times, our circumstances in life do not determine whether we are in God's will or not. Whether we are in God's will is the key. The circumstances around us, the evil that is around us, we talked about last week, that Saul is not a normal guy. Saul is kind of nuts. He's got conspiracy theories. He's the guy that has all the channels on the internet. If you would have had Saul on the internet, it would have been dangerous. I mean, all the conspiracy theories that Saul could have found on the internet. And he would have been your friend that always showed up every day with a news, conspiracy that he found on some dark chat somewhere. That's Saul. Okay? That's who he is. And David says, what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do, God? It contrasts. It shows. It demonstrates his reliance on God. Remember, if he just defeated the Philistines, do you think David could have defeated Saul's army at this time? He just defeated the greatest army out there. I think he could have taken him, but he says, no, what do you want me to do, God? It shows with his successful communication with God that he has a relationship with God. And it shows a huge contrast between Saul and David, that establishing a link. And it describes that you should follow what God calls you to do. And if God says use the means of the ephod, use the Urim and the Thummim, use those, he did it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He was the opposite of Saul. And then verse 14 goes on. And it says, and David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God and said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. So here's what we have happening. Again, that David is being chased by Saul, and he seeks him every day. And you need to understand this. This is the part from Easter. We're a couple weeks off from Easter, and this is important that we understand to this day. We are never in trouble unless God allows something to happen. In other words, everybody who's ever been a martyr in this world, everybody that God has allowed to be martyred God has allowed it. And David here, he says, and Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. In other words, the day that you die is prescribed by God, not prescribed by your circumstances. And you may say, well, I should take care of myself. Yeah, there's things important we should be doing. You know, it's a good idea not to eat a dozen donuts every day. Things like that are bad for you, you know. But we need to understand this, that God is in charge. The whole thing is Saul's coming after him. Saul's coming after him. But God did not give him into his hand. God just looked at Saul and went, no, you're not getting him. And that's the determination of our lives. And we need to understand the control that God has over this world. And then another thing that God will do is he'll send encouragers, and we need to be the encourager and also receive the encourager. Jonathan, Saul's son, remember Jonathan and their relationship? They loved each other dearly. And he went to see David, and he strengthened his hand in God. He strengthened his understanding of what God was doing in his life. Because I understand what David is going through right here. He is probably questioning. Didn't they dump a bunch of oil over my head and say I was going to be king? Wasn't I called the anointed one? Wasn't I supposed to be doing this? And Jonathan comes to him and he says, you know what? Do not fear. God is still in control of your life. I want to ask you, are you that person that's doing that for other people? Are you the one that tell them, well, things are going wrong? Because when you're in the middle of it, I've talked to so many people that are going through times of stress, and your mind sometimes isn't working the way you are. We all know what we're talking about here. We need somebody else to come up to us and say, do not fear. God's plan is still in action with your life. The Lord, he says, the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you. He says, shall not find you. It's the Lord's decision to make David king, and David is not doing anything wrong, so there's nothing that Saul can do against David. And he says, you're even being nice to the people of Saul's line. You're being nice to me because I'm going to be your number two someday. Unfortunately, it did not happen. And he says, even God's plan is not hidden. Saul knows that you're supposed to be the king. Saul knows that you're supposed to be the right guy, but he's going to come against you even though he knows that you're right. I think that may be one of the toughest things in life. When you do everything you're supposed to do and people come against you. It's easier when you do stupid things and people come against you. I see a few other people identify with that besides me. It's like you're driving and you run through a stop sign by mistake and people are laying on your horns like, what is your problem? Oh, that was me. You know, that's me. Sorry, everyone. You know, it's just like, but when you're doing everything right and people are laying into you and people are coming at you, you're saying, I'm doing what God has called me to do. Why are things going like this? We need to have people come into our lives that help us and encourage us to say, remember, God is not done with you. God is not going to give you into Saul's hand because he has promised you to be the king. And if he made a promise in your life, it's going to be fulfilled. God is faithful to his promises. He strengthened him. He helped him find his strength in God. And it goes on a little further. After we have that help, he says, then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh at the hill of Hakalah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into your king's hand. Okay, now we've got the people of Keilah, they were kind of passive. They're like, we're probably going to turn you over because we're afraid. Remember what happened to the last people who helped David? Saul went in and killed them all. But the people of the Ziphites, they're like, we want you to get David and we're going to do everything we can to get David. These people are incredibly mean and incredibly going against him. And it's hard to understand their enthusiastic support. Why are they so enthusiastic to support Saul? And you may say to yourself, not only are they mean to me, not only I'm doing what God wants me to do and people are being mean, but they're happy about it. I mean, there's a lot of, oh, Lord, oh, King, come down. We'll help you. We're excited. Woohoo, let's go get David. They're into this. And I want you to understand that what Jonathan had done just before this, I think was vital to what happens in this stage. Because if you look at Psalm 54, and I didn't put it up here, it starts out with, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? And you're like, oh, this is going to be one of those psalms. May the Ziphites die. May they never have any children again. May they grow horns out of their head. You know, I mean, it's just like, you think that that's what it would look like, right? He said, God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Understand that. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. This is something that just doesn't fit in our culture. Somebody does something wrong to you, you get them back. You stick it to them. Somebody speaks behind your back, you speak behind their back. Somebody hits you, you hit them twice. That's what you do. You know what David says? I will leave this up to God. There's an attitude that we need to take. There's this attitude that we need to have in our lives, that it is not our job to find vengeance in this life. It's not our job to do that. It's our job. He is being wronged. There's no doubt about it. What has David done wrong here to these people? He says they're strangers to him, and they're like, hey, let's go get David. That sounds like fun. Out of the blue, it seems like. And we don't have any relationship. But he is saying, I will not take vengeance myself. And you are going to confuse the living daylights out of the whole world when you do this. They're going to look at you, and they're going to say, what on earth are you doing? Did you hear what that person said? Let's go get them. Let's go do something back to them. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that because let God take his vengeance when he wants to take his vengeance. Let him forgive those. Do not repay evil with evil, but give it with good, actually, is what the Bible says. Return it with good. And you're really going to confuse them then. Hey, you were really mean to me. Can I help you out today? They're going to look at you and like, no, because that's what my God calls me to do. Because when I'm on the will of God, I know people are going to come against me. The enemy is going to come against you when you're on the will of God. You know that you're on the will of God when this is happening. And then Saul said, verse 21, more confusion by Saul. And Saul said to them, may you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. So Saul looks at him and goes, God bless you for helping my jealousy so I can go kill somebody. While my real responsibility of killing the Philistines, I'm letting go. But thank you. God is blessing you. God bless you. No, they're not doing the right thing. Go make yet more sure, he says, no one see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him lurking, or seen him there, for has told me that he is very cunning. See therefore and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, and in the Arba, in the south of Jeshimon. And Saul and his men went to seek him. And David was told, so he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So basically, Saul wants this information. I'm so blessed. He says, remember, he's looking at this as God's blessing. Everything's going, this is the not the way. Saul is the example of how not to follow. Oh, it must be God's blessing that I'm having these people come and help me. It must be God's blessing to me that this is coming up so easy, that God is helping me in my own jealousy and my own sin. He's helping me sin. What a great God I serve. That's Saul's understanding. Because it's not God's help when it's causing you to do something that's not godly. It's not God's will. I've talked to people, and they have said, I'm going to do this. I know that it's wrong, but I feel like I still must do that. And I think God will bless me in the future, I hope. Why would you do it if you know it's wrong? Why would you do it if it's against what God? If God has told you there's certain things you're not going to do. I was hearing this theory that somebody was talking about when you're little, you tell a little kid to not touch a stove. A hot stove. Why? Well, because they're hot, all right? And they burn you. But what does a little kid know? Nothing. Little kid, I hate to say this, but we're not that bright when we're that little, all right? We'll touch anything. Ooh, stove, fun, you know? But we're told that for our own benefit. We're told that don't touch the stove. It's going to hurt you. That's what God does in our life. We're the little kid. But we think that we're smarter than God. So what do? Let's touch stoves. Oh, that hurt my life. Let's touch more stoves. That hurt my life too. I'm not going to listen to God. What does he know? Meanwhile, our hands are being burned constantly in our lives. That's what's happening with Saul. He doesn't want to listen to God. David says, I will listen to God. Remember, David has all the advantage at this point. David is the better military leader. David has the everything, and he can take him wherever he can take him. And then in verse 26, it goes there. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. And Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them. A messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land. So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went after the Philistines. Therefore, that place was called the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now, what you don't see from all this is a lot of geographical, a lot of topographical information. Basically, everything you know. If you ever watched the movie Gettysburg, you have to watch the four-hour version like I do. My son and I are history guys. We're weird. But there's like this whole thing. And the whole beginning of the movie, they're trying to get to the high ground. Everything is about getting to the high ground. If you watch this movie, if you ever go to Gettysburg, it's an amazing experience just to go there in Pennsylvania. But they got to get to the high ground, because if you're in the high ground in a military thing, you have all the advantages. The other side has to run up to you. You can roll stuff down at them. You can push stuff down at them. You've got this. David has the high ground right here. When it says rock of escape, David left the high ground and went away from Saul, even though he had opportunity on the high ground to take out Saul's army. And why did he do it? Because he was not, he said, I will not touch God's anointed one. I will not go against what God, but that guy's really bad, David. Just take him out. God has not told me that I can do that, so I will not do that. David, again, the things that are simple in our life, the things that you think God has put, we all think like Saul, I think. Well, it's easy for me. It just got set right in front of me. It's got to be God. The Ziphites are helping me. That's got to be God. No, sometimes the hardest thing is what God is calling you to do. God is calling you on a path and saying, follow my will. Ask me what you're supposed to do. Ask me the plan that I have for your life. I have a plan for your life that involves you not touching the stove and getting burned all the time. If that's one thing you remember, it involves you, and you may say, well, why doesn't God want me to have any fun? Because he doesn't want you to touch the stove. Think about two-year-olds yourself, and two-year-olds, they just run into danger. Okay? They've run into danger, and we're pulling them back. No, 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 don't run into the highway. No, 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 don't do that. The chainsaw's not a toy. You know, just like, whatever, that's what we do. And that's our lives today. Whatever's quick and easy, and we want to try it. But God in heaven is saying, I've got a plan for you. Follow my will. Don't follow the easy plan. Don't follow when things seem to fall in your plan. Don't be like Saul and give God credit for giving you sin. Well, God, you know, I had to be with that woman over there. God made her so beautiful, I had to do it. Yes, that was God's fault. Yes, that's the problem. It's not you, it's her. But think about it, we all come up with these things, right? We're like, oh, it was there, it was an opportunity, I had to take it. No, you don't. Follow after God, find his will, stay according to his word. If it goes opposite of his word, it is not the will of God. If it is your jealous ambition that is being fed by something, it's not the will of God. If it's people coming up to you and saying things to you that are wrong and directing you in the wrong place, that's not the will of God. Stay with God. He's got a plan for you. If you find it, follow it. He's going to bring you to the best place you can be. Why don't you stand with me? If our prayer ministers could come forward. You know, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you've never made him the master of your life, you are, I hate to say this, I was to that two-year-old reaching for the stove. That's the way you have to figure out life if you don't follow after God. You have to run into stuff, break stuff, burn stuff, figure out that that's not good, do it again, God's saying, I've got a plan for you that involves less pain. It involves less heartache. It involves less hurting. Follow after me. God wants that. So if you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You're carrying your sin. The weight of your sin is upon you. Your sin, you're going to be tried for that, and you're going to be found guilty of it. But if you go after God, he's going to take that sin away from you. He's going to enter into you and make you a new person in him. It's a great deal, and it doesn't cost you anything. I'm not trying to sell you something today. There's no payment plan, all right? You're following after him because he's got the best plan for you. He had the best plan for David. Even though he's running around the wilderness, he kept track of him the whole way. So I just want to ask you that. If anybody else is here, just need someone to pray with you, our prayer ministers are available. Lord, I come to you today, and I thank you, God, that you are the answer. You are the hope that we have in you. You are the one, God, that wants to give us direction in our lives. But God, the first thing we need to do is say we are willing to accept your plan. We're willing to accept what you have called us to do. We know that your plan never contradicts the word of God. It never feeds our jealousy. It never feeds our anger. It never feeds our sexual desire. It never feeds those things that are pulling us astray. It feeds the proper way that you have made us, God. And I thank you for that, God. And I thank that we can come to you in prayer and ask, what should I do, God? And you are faithful to guide and direct us. You're faithful to bring people into our lives to keep us on the right path, God. Encouragement. Let us both be encouraged and encouragers, God. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.